Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are still discussing the four facts from which we can know for sure that there was no Quran written in a book form during the life of Muhammad or even after the death of Muhammad. We already finished discussing the first two facts, which are there was no Quran during the life of the first two successors, that is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn Khattab. The second fact is that there were many different Qurans that existed during the life of the third successor, Osman ibn Affan. And that's why there were disputes among Muslims, which could cause a great sedition and civil war. That's why Osman ibn Affan decided to make a new Quran, as he borrowed the one of the Quran which exists with Hafs, the daughter of Muhammad. And after he finished his fabricated Quran, he gave an order to burn all other copies of the Quran. We heard also about many people who came after him, those who made their own Qurans and destroyed the other Qurans by submerging them in vinegar, or others who put them in boiling oil. This is a great evidence that there was not one perfect Quran for Muslims to read and to use for their prayer. For if that was the case, why would Muslims go through all this trouble to make a new Quran? As for the third fact, which we began in our last broadcast, we talked about there was no order for the books or the chapters of the Quran. For no one knows exactly when Muhammad received these verses of the chapters of the Quran. So it was simply an effort of everyone to do their best to put the Quran in whatever order. Some put them in chronological order according to the Mekki, then the Medini, and others come up with different sets of Mekki and Medini, and others wrote the Quran in an order of the size, large to small, and we discovered that it was simply a chaos project. No one knows exactly what chapter of the Quran came to Muhammad first. If there was a Quran put together according to the direction of Muhammad, we would have found one perfect Quran, exactly in the same order of how Muhammad received such revelation from his angel Jibreel, as Muslims claim. Now let me share with you another problem concerning when Muhammad actually and where Muhammad received such revelations. For we know that in his own fabrication, Muhammad himself claimed that some of the Quran came to him while he was traveling, and others while he was in his own town. Sometimes he claimed that verses came to him during the day, and others during the night. Sometimes the verses came to him in the summer, and others in the winter. Sometimes he claimed that the verses came to him while he was in his bed, and others while he was asleep, and others while he was on earth, and others while he was in heaven. What a great fabrication, and what a great cocktail of times and places where Muhammad received his Quran verses. That's why some of the Muslim scholars broke the Quran into sections to fit with different places and different timing, as Muhammad claimed in his teachings. So now we ask a question. Who was with Muhammad to go all over all these places during these times to know exactly, years and years later after Muhammad died, to put the Quran in such order? Add to that, we also know that sometimes the Quran chapter was given to Muhammad in one session, and sometimes the chapter was given to Muhammad in different sessions. That's why we're not surprised Muslim scholars had a huge disagreement about in what order they put the Quran and what they took away from the Quran and what they added to the Quran. Let me give you just one evidence that Muslim scholars remove from the Quran. That is when Ibn Abbas said that he asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, why we do not have the statement in the name of Allah the Merciful and the Merciful in Quran chapter 9. He said, because in the statement in the name of Allah the Merciful, we receive comfort. But the book of Bara'ah, that is Quran chapter 9, came with the sword. As for Malik, he said that when the first portion of Quran chapter 9 was lost, that statement was lost with it. Because Quran chapter 9, which is the book of repentance or the book of innocent, used to be as long as Quran chapter 2, the book of Kaw. As for the Quran of Ibn Mas'ud, contains 112 chapters because he did not write the last two chapters of the Quran. As in the Quran of Abi, there were 116 chapters because he added two other chapters with the titles Al-Hafd and Al-Khala, which are not available today in many Qurans. Abu Ubaidah said that Ibn Sirin said that Abi, son of Ka'b, wrote in his Quran the opening chapter, Quran chapter 1, and the Ma'wazatain, which are the last two chapters of the Quran. And it's amazing that Muslims all over the world believe that the Quran, which we do have today in the world, is the same Quran which is written on the guarded board in heaven. So now we ask a question. If we examine the guarded board where the original Quran is kept, do we see the Quran of Ibn Mas'ud, or the Quran of Abi Bakr, or the Quran of Umar, or the Quran of Osman, or the Quran of Ali, or the Quran of Aisha? My friends, we do have today more than 34 Qurans in the Arabic language. And believe it or not, the number of words which are different between one and the other of these Qurans are around 29,000 words. Which one of these Qurans, like the original Quran, which is written on the guarded board? And my friends, if you are not familiar with the phrase, the guarded board, it is a huge board. Its width is like the width of the distance between the east and the west. Its height is like the height of the heavens to the earth. And we can go on and on to describe this guarded board. But Muhammad said it is where Allah wrote on it the entire Quran, thousands of years before Allah created the world, before Jibreel revealed it to Muhammad, one portion at a time. This is the guarded board. It was protected by Allah. Therefore, we know for sure that if there is such a thing as that guarded board, for sure we'll have on it the perfect Quran. But in reality, this is just a made-up story without any proof or evidence. And the proof is why we do not have the good Quran, the perfect Quran, to match that Quran which was written by Allah himself in the seventh heaven. And believe me, my friends, I can go on and on and on to prove this very important fact that there are many Qurans with many different verses. We read about that in Muslim scholars' writings. And these verses do not exist today in the Quran, which I hold in my hand. Some removed, some kept, some added to the Quran, which I hold in my hand, the Hafs Quran, the one we use in the country of Egypt. But for now, let's move to the fourth and the last fact from which we know for certain that there was not one perfect Quran, as Muslims claim, given by Muhammad to the Muslim believers or written according to Muhammad's direction to the Muslim believers. And that fact is that there were different Qurans during Muhammad's life. In Sahih Bukhari, we learn about that a man by the name Husham ibn Hakim ibn Hazam was reading the Quran in front of Umar ibn Khattab, and he was reading from Surah Al-Furqan, the discrimination. So Umar ibn Khattab stopped him and he said, you are reading the wrong words. These are not the right words for that chapter. But the man got upset and he said, I have read it before the Messenger of Allah and he did not correct me. So Umar and Hisham ibn Hakim went and spoke to Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. So the Messenger of Allah asked Hisham to recite these verses of that chapter, and he did. And after the recitation, Muhammad said, that is exactly how I received it from Allah through Angel Jibreel. Then Muhammad asked Umar to recite the same portion of that chapter, and after Umar recited it, Muhammad said, it is exactly how I have received it. You see, it was given to me by Angel Jibreel on both ways, two different readings. Muhammad did not stop there, but he actually continued to say that two angels came to him. One of them asked Muhammad to recite the Quran in one form, and Muhammad did. So the second angel asked Muhammad to recite the Quran in a different form, and Muhammad did. And Muhammad continued to do that seven times, which means, my dear friends, there was not one or two or four or five, but seven different Qurans during Muhammad's life. And Muhammad assured all his companions that all of these different readings of the Quran are blessings. As long as Muslims do not exchange a verse from a blessing to a curse or from a curse to a blessing. Wow, seven Qurans in Muhammad days? And I know some Muslim will tell you, no. He misunderstands that account, because in reality, there were one Quran, but seven different dialects. It's like, you know, here in America and the South, we say, you all. But up north, they say, all of you. So all of you is the same as you all. No, my friends, we're talking about seven different Qurans, seven different reading to the words of Allah in the Quran. Or why Umar and Hisham ibn Hakim got to this hot debated argument. If it was just simply different dialect, you will never see somebody from the South fighting with somebody from the North for using the word y'all or all of you, because we know they actually mean the same thing. But in the Quran, there were seven different readings to the same chapters.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Now we ask a question. If there were seven different Qurans, which one did Muhammad order the Muslim believers to put together in a book form? The answer is none. As I have shared with you earlier, when Umar convinced Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to put the Quran in a book form earlier, Abu Bakr said the statement, how can we do something the Apostle of Allah never asked us to do? And then when Umar asked Zayd ibn Thabit to put the Quran in that book form, Zayd ibn Thabit repeated the same statement, how can we do something the Apostle of Allah never asked us to do? So in reality, my friends, there was not Quran in Muhammad's days. Because Muhammad never asked anybody to put the Quran in a book form. And I believe the reason is this. Muhammad knew that his Quran is a fabricated book. And if you are lying, you don't want somebody to travel with you in the summer and in the winter, in the time of war and in the time of peace, while you sleep, while awake, while you are in heaven or on earth, to write your lies in a book form, because then you're going to get caught. It is much better to just let it go orally, meaning people will just keep repeating these verses of these chapters and use it in their prayers. And if something happened like that case here between Umar ibn Khattab and Hisham ibn Hakim, where they discovered that there are two different readings for the same chapter, it's very simple. Muhammad came up with this great conclusion. You see, the Quran was given to me in seven different wordings, which means it doesn't matter. They're all good. They're all blessings. If there was only one perfect Quran which matched that which is written on that guard board, then we have to come to the conclusion. If Umar ibn Khattab is right in his recitation, that means Hisham ibn Hakim was wrong. And the opposite is true. But because there is not one holy Quran written in that guarded board, therefore we can see seven different Qurans of the same chapter given by Muhammad to his gullible Muslim believers. A good excuse was given by Muslim scholars concerning the many verses or many chapters which are lost in the Quran, that they depend on that doctrines of abrogation, that some of the verses of the Quran, Allah caused it to be lost, as we will be covering that in the next broadcast, on purpose to test the Muslim believers to see if they are truly followers of him, believing his word and practicing it, even if the verses are no longer exist in the Quran. This is an amazing, deceptive excuse, and we will be covering it when we talk about the doctrine of abrogation in the next broadcast. I personally believe that there are plenty of verses of the Quran, or even chapters of the Quran, has been gone long time ago. And the proof of that, listen to what Abu Ubaidah said. He said, Ismail ibn Ibrahim said that Umar said, no one will say, I have taken the entire Quran. Because what do you know what the entire Quran is? Because many of it has been gone. But you can say, I have of what is kept from the Quran. Also, we read that Ibn Abi Maryam said that Abi Lahiya said that Aisha said the book of the parties used to be 200 verses during the life of Muhammad. And when Osman wrote his Quran, now we only see what is in it. And guess how many verses we have in Quran chapter 33? Only 73 verses, which means we are missing 127 verses from that one chapter. Also, we read in the hadith that Muhammad recited the stoning verse, which used to say, the old man and the old woman, so stone them completely because of the enjoyment they have received. He meant from having an adulterous relationship. Umar said, if it was not that the people would say that Umar added to the book of Allah, I would have surely wrote that verse, the verse of the stoning, which obviously may be shocking for some people to know that that verse does not exist anywhere in the Quran. Add to that, there used to be a verse in the Quran which used to say, as Aisha assured us in her sayings, that if a woman breastfeed a son, tenfold breastfeeding, who is not her own son, when he grew up and became a man, he could not marry her own daughter because they are now become like a brother and a sister. And then Aisha said, that verse was abrogated with a newer verse, which actually decreased the number of breastfeeding to 5 times. And now we ask our dear Muslim friends, is it true that a man cannot marry a woman if they were both breastfed by the same woman 5 times? The answer is yes. Now let us go to the Quran. Do we see these verses written anywhere in the Quran? The answer is no. And if you listen carefully to the saying of Aisha, when she said, when Muhammad died, they got busy with his burial, and a dagon, that's like a goat or a sheep, went inside her bedroom, and that dagon ate these verses about the breastfeeding of a child. And we can go on and on and on to give you many examples throughout the hadith, the saying of Muhammad or his companions or his scholars, to show us many verses used to be in the Quran, but it is no longer in the Quran. Abu Ubaidah stated that the last chapter of the Quran, chapter 9, came down, then it was lifted up, and we only kept from it what Allah will use to strengthen the religion of Islam. And one of the verses were there, it was, if the son of Adam have two valleys, he would have wished for a third valley. And if he given the third valley, he wished for the fourth valley. And then Allah said, and nothing can fill the son of Adam except the dirt. And Allah relented on him and repented. Now we ask the question, where are these verses? It is no longer in the Quran. And my friends, I hold in my hand 32 examples written in that book, which is titled Commentaries on the Quran, to give you enough evidence of many verses which were lost. And I'm not going to even waste my time to tell you about it. We got enough to prove to our dear Muslim friends about many of these portions of the Quran which are no longer there. Now, he has a question. What about the Holy Bible? Have you ever heard about anyone who changed the Bible by adding or taking away verses from its pages? In our study, we will be covering this matter in depth to show you that there is enough evidence from the Quran that the Bible is the perfect word of God, as Muslims claim that Allah is God, never been corrupted, and it will never change in the future as well. This is a huge difference between the writing of the Quran and the writing of the Bible. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.